Now, as we've been looking at this, we've been building a list of traits or characteristics that should dominate the body of Christ. In the first session, we saw Paul's challenge for us to be people characterized by humility, characterized by gentleness, characterized by patience, and characterized by a commitment to make allowance for other people's faults and weaknesses because of our deep love for them. And in session two, we noted that Jesus commanded us to be people of love, and the need for this critical trait was repeated and emphasized by Paul, by Peter, and by John. And today we want to spend our time examining the subject of spiritual gifts. We know from Scripture that God gives spiritual gifts to the church and to the body of Christ, and then he also gives gifts to individual believers. So for our first reading today, we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I need all the help I can get. Thank you, sir. Well, it's fine when I got up this morning. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. Here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First are apostles. Second are prophets. Third are teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have the gift of healing. Those who can help others. And those who have the gift of leadership. And those who speak in unknown languages. Are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? Do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? Do we all have the ability to speak in unknown languages? Do we all have the ability to interpret unknown languages? Of course not. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Lord, we pray that you will add a blessing to the reading of your word. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would work through your word today. We pray for our ears to be open, our understanding to be enlightened. Lord, would you just speak into our hearts today? I pray for my voice, Lord, that you'll touch it and allow me to deliver what you put on my heart. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So Paul here is writing from his own context. He's writing from his own experience. He's writing from what he has seen God personally do in the churches that he is familiar with. And as we read through the book of Acts and the New Testament letters, we can see evidence for each one of the gifts that he lists here. We see them being active in the churches of his time. 2,000 years have passed. But there's no evidence anywhere in Scripture that says that any of these gifts would disappear or should disappear before the end of the church age. But the culture that we find ourselves in is certainly a radically different culture than that of Paul's time. And I think it could successfully be argued that, given our context, our own context, the gifts that God provides to the collective body of Christ and individuals are far more valuable and more desperately needed than ever before. Amen. I want you to think for a moment about the first gift that Paul lists in his list. That is the gift of apostle. Perhaps you've wondered why the disciples were known for being followers of Jesus, and then seemingly without explanation became known as apostles. Well, the word apostle means a messenger, one who aggressively proclaims a message. And while Jesus was here on earth, he was the one who did the majority of proclaiming the gospel, the good news. And shortly after his resurrection, he gives his followers what we refer to as the Great Commission. And that shifted the role of proclaiming the gospel from him to his disciples. And so they became known as apostles. They took on the role of an apostle, aggressively proclaiming the good news anywhere the Spirit would lead them, proclaiming it to anyone who would listen. So is the ministry of the gift of the apostle no longer required? I don't think so. I think it could be argued successfully that with world population outgrowing the number of people coming to Christ, the gift of apostleship is needed now more than ever. And thankfully, we have many examples of apostleship. For example, people who have a passion to plant new churches have been frequently endowed with the gift of apostleship. And we could go on through the whole list and come to the conclusion that each of the gifts Paul mentions here have value in the right context. We should also note that the disciples were largely uneducated people, and the gifts of the Spirit were essential to augment their natural giftings and their natural abilities to help them propagate the gospel. So our culture is radically different than that of Paul's day. And I think that we all feel somewhat inadequate and somewhat intimidated with the challenge of the Great Commission. Fortunately, the Lord is the gift giver. And since it was He who founded the church, the body of Christ, it would make sense that He would provide through the Holy Spirit the gifts that are needed for our context in the 21st century. Remember from our previous sessions that God has chosen and ordained people to be members of the body of Christ. So it makes sense, since God has found handpicked members to be the body of Christ, He would also know exactly what spiritual gifts are needed to make the body as effective as possible. Now in verses 29 through 31 that we just read, He points out that not everyone has the same gift. And unfortunately, many people use this verse as an excuse to say that they don't have any gift. But the key point, I believe, comes in these words from Paul. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. The King James Version says, covet earnestly the desire, which suggests that speaking of the best gifts of our context should be a top priority. Seek God for the best gift for you and the best gift for our assembly. Now, I believe that these words of Paul's are applicable collectively to the body of Christ, and that is to us as a body of believers. And again, God has deliberately called and chosen us, called you and I to be part of this body here in Chesley. And He's given us the challenge of being His hands and feet to support one another and to proclaim His message and to grow His kingdom. We all, to some degree, have become apostles. And so with the enormity of that challenge before us and the assurance that God does provide gifts to the church, would it not make sense that we would be praying for, earnestly desiring the best gifts that God could give us to make His body an effective body of Christ here in Chesley? You know, sometimes there may be a tendency to pray for one of the more noticeable, one of the more higher profile gifts. Don't do that. Pray for the best gifts, the ones that, which naturally would be to the ones that God sees necessary for the most effective operation of this body of Christ. So in summary, the scripture is very clear. God provides spiritual gifts to the church, the body of Christ. But we must remember that the gifts given to the church, they come in the form of individual gifts given to each one of you. And God provides these gifts for two reasons. First, He He gives them to you to augment your personal ministry. And secondly, to be part of the diversity of gifts that God will provide to the body of Christ through its members. Now, I think a lot of people struggle with the idea, with the concept that each one of us have been given one or more spiritual gifts. And many of you might say, well, I don't believe God has given me any spiritual gift. And I believe that part of that is caused by the tendency to compare ourselves with other folks. But Paul in his teaching says so clearly, we're not going to have the same gift as others. If that were so, then the body of Christ would only have one strength. Using our example for a moment, if every member here were highly gifted in singing, we would have a great musical worship time, but we would be sorely lacking in other areas. It is the diversity of the gifts, the variety of gifts spread across the entire body, that makes for comprehensive and effective ministry.
Amen.
Excuse me, think about an orchestra for a moment. It's the diversity of the instruments that come together in harmony to deliver the amazing musical product. Please note that none of the members in the orchestra would be able to play each of the many instruments used in the final production. Some might play one or two instruments. But none of the members would be experts on every instrument represented in the orchestra. It is each member bringing their own particular skill or gifting that collectively combine to make the orchestra complete and successful.
Right.
And again, Paul makes a very, very important point. If you are having trouble believing that God gives each of us at least one gift, listen to what he says. Not once, not twice, but three times in his letters, Paul makes the point that each of us have been given a special gift. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7, he writes, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Helping each other is a key role of the body of Christ. Then in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, he writes, yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7, he writes, however, he has given each one of us a special gift through the generosity of Christ. So not once, not twice, but three times he repeats that message. So hopefully each one of us can then accept Paul's emphasized point here, that each of us have been given at least one spiritual gift. And it's important to remember that each one of us has been given a spiritual gift with the intention that it would be used. Used to edify and strengthen the body of Christ as a whole. There may be times, for example, in the case of serious illness that might prevent the exercising of your spiritual gift. But in general, you have at least one spiritual gift and you should be using it. Now, some questions might emerge from what we have learned. If it's not obvious to me, then how do I know what my spiritual gift is? Well, the first step we can take is that we can read what Paul said, and we can take it to heart, and we can pray, desiring the best gift. And God certainly knows what that is. Remember, God's intent is to build out the body of Christ with a comprehensive array of gifts that equips the body of Christ for the ministry God is calling us to. Perhaps you've noticed an area of ministry in the body of Christ that's lacking. Pray about that lack. Perhaps God will equip you. Perhaps God will gift you in order to be able to fill that role. Secondly, it's possible that you are already gifted in an area, but you have yet to discover what it is. There are a number of personal giftings assessment packages that are available that can help you decide what areas you have been gifted in. I have one of them right here. And if you're interested in doing a little bit of a study on your spiritual gifts and deciding what they might be, this is an excellent program. And we can make it available to as many people who are interested. I don't see many hands going up. A few of us have been going through the discipleship program, and as a small part of that program, there's a lesson on spiritual gifts, and part of that was to kind of review the gifts and decide which ones we had been gifted in. And part of that was for each member to identify what gifts that they saw in the other members. And it's interesting that as we reviewed our answers, every one of us saw more than one gift in each of us of the others. Now, isn't that amazing? Just an affirmation of Scripture that God does give us as members at least one spiritual gift. It's kind of an amazing result, actually. So let's think about one example from Paul's list. One of the gifts of the Spirit is wisdom. Now, I don't think that this simply refers to what we might call common sense. Now, the Lord knows we need some more common sense, but I don't think that's one of the spiritual gifts that he's listing here. The world is in a famine for common sense. But I think it refers to another level of wisdom. The kind of insight that helps deal with difficult situations or important decisions. Maybe God has blessed you with that kind of wisdom. Perhaps even other people have complimented you on your wise words at times, and yet you don't see that as your spiritual gifting. I want you to remember that God, when we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, when we're talking about the manifestations of the Spirit, God often uses observations and words of others to affirm the supernatural activity of His Spirit. So the third practical way that you can be involved in finding out about your own gifts is to listen to others. People around you may recognize your wisdom. It could be well that the Holy Spirit has gifted you with that gift of wisdom, and that is your gift. If you suspect that you have received a gifting in a certain area but have not received any affirmation so far, don't be afraid to ask God for it. I believe that God affirms the working of the Spirit in many different ways and many different times. Now here is a list of the spiritual gifts that Paul mentions in Scriptures. It's not intended to be all-inclusive, but it covers many of them. I have assigned some categories to the gifts, but how you categorize them is not critical. The critical point is, again, earnestly seeking God for the best gifts for this body of Christ and for the best gifts for your own personal ministry. He lists apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor. Under speaking gifts, he lists teaching, encouragement, wisdom, and knowledge. Under signs, he lists healing, miracles, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Under gifts of service, he lists faith, helps, administration, service, giving. leadership, comfort, mercy, hospitality, and discernment. So you can see there's a wide variety of gifts that God can use to edify and equip the church, but it's not intended to be exhaustive. There are other gifts and other giftings. For example, if you looked at that list, you'll find no mention of music. And yet we know that music is a tremendous gift to the church, tremendous gift to individuals as well that helps them in their personal ministry. So now we're going to begin our transition to our observance of communion. And since we're speaking about gifts, who do you suppose, or what do you suppose, is the greatest gift that God has given to the body of Christ? Well, Paul says it very well in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. His indescribable gift, some translations say. God's amazing gift to the church, to the body of Christ, is Christ himself, the cross, and what came because of the cross.